This Sunday pulls together many different threads of our life. It is the culmination of the season of creation that we have been walking faithfully through for the past month. Of course, it was also the blessing of the animals. And in our wider church, it is World Communion Sunday. And of course, Harvest Thanksgiving. What brings all of these pieces together is the foundational practice of gratitude. Gratitude for the earth. Gratitude for God's presence experienced through our human and animal companions. Gratitude embodied in the Thanksgiving feast, the feast of harvest and gratitude for the holy meal we share together each week around our communion table. It is fitting then that our gospel this week takes us into the heart of what gratitude might mean. The Gospel of Luke takes us back out on the road with Jesus. And we are told that we are in one of those in-between places, on the way to Jerusalem. Jesus comes to the edge of town where often those who were not considered fit for community life were sent. And sure enough, on the edges, on the margins, he encounters a group of lepers. A few things to know about the illness, a group of illnesses actually, that was called leprosy in that time. This disease made you ineligible to be part of the temple or community life, and you had to live apart from others in order to not jeopardize their cleanliness. And as if the illness or the isolation was not hard enough, you also had to shout that you were unclean to any who passed, so that they wouldn't risk contamination. The only way to be welcomed back into community was the complete cure of your disease, and then that was confirmed by the priest and the appropriate rituals performed. And so Jesus enters this village. And 10 lepers approach, and remaining at the appropriate distance, they shout out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." It is a collective plea. To one,
of course, as we hear in the gospel, one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, he prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus asks, "Were not 10 made clean? Where are the others?" Then he turned to that Samaritan and said, "Get up and go. Your faith has made you well." Now, don't get me wrong, the 9 did exactly what Jesus says. They go. They show themselves to the priest. Jesus didn't say anything about coming back and giving thanks. So why then are the actions of the one to be made such an example of? What are we supposed to be paying attention to? As I was thinking about this, I was thinking, I wonder if the 9 are not unlike many of us when we go to the doctor for one ailment or another. We go in, we get the diagnosis, and head off to fill the prescription, in most cases pretty confident that that's going to do the trick and get us back to work. I'm not sure about you, but I certainly confess that it doesn't occur to me to rush back to the doctor with the news that my cold is better or whatever else I might have had. So perhaps that's what's happening here. The 9 are undoubtedly thrilled, undoubtedly grateful. The barriers of physical and social exclusion have been broken down, and they are cleansed. But maybe they don't connect the healing with Jesus as the source. Perhaps they see him, just as the doctor doing his job. It is so often the case that those who are on the outside can see sometimes something that we cannot. The one who returns, as we have heard, is a Samaritan, and thus faces not only the physical barriers of the illness, but societal and cultural barriers of his race. He cannot return to a Jewish priest for confirmation, and so he turns back. And in turning back, in walking back, recognizes in the person of Jesus the true source of all healing and wholeness. He returns to the source of his new life, a temple not built of stones, but of flesh and blood, the healer of all, to which he falls to his knees in gratitude. All 10 are cleansed, but Jesus adds this final blessing to the Samaritan: your faith has made you well. The Greek for made well here is sozo, which means save or make whole. As this person turns back in gratitude to the source of all that is, as he recognizes the new life that Jesus offers, he is not only cleansed physically, but made whole, body and soul. Karl Barth wrote that God's work in our lives makes each of us a new creation, and we become that new creation through gratitude. To believe in Jesus Christ means to become a thankful people. For those of us transformed by this grace, gratitude is not merely an act or an attitude, it is our identity. If the essence of God is grace, then the essence of human beings, perhaps as God's people, is our gratitude, our thanksgiving. Our identity is shaped and formed by gratitude, but this emphasis on gratitude does not mean we overlook lament or heartbreak. To live gratefully is not the same as denying the misery around us. Gratitude involves knowing that we are held secure by a God who loves us, a God who is trustworthy. It is turning to a God in worship that we can know holds us, despite the nearly unbearable sorrow that we might encounter upon the way. Gratitude is crucial. It is the crucial way in which death and destruction do not have the final word and cannot finally define us. Starting each day as resurrection people, seeing within each other, within this blessed creation that we have perhaps become more aware of in these last weeks, maybe we see the image of the invisible God and give our hearts over in praise and thanksgiving for God's presence within us. This, despite the darkness around or within us, in offering gratitude to God, this has the power to make us whole. We are reminded by the leper's action that the ultimate place where we can cry out to God, receive mercy, and be transformed is here in our common worship together. The place where we gather to offer our thanksgiving and praise. Martin Luther is said to have defined worship as the tenth leper turning back. And so we gather each week in worship, in some ways living out this same gospel rhythm, crying out to Jesus from our individual and collective places of brokenness, hearing his word that calls to us, lifting up our lives in gratitude at a table of thanksgiving where all the barriers come crashing down, and being sent in our newfound wholeness to practice the presence of God through gratitude, faith, and action in our communities. This week, each moment, let us take up our identity as the people of God, a people shaped by radical gratitude, and let that posture shape how we live and how we interact with each other and with all of God's creation. Let us rise and go each morning, even in the darkness, with the prayer that the poet priest George Herbert once wrote. God, you have given so much to me. Give one thing more, a grateful heart. Not thankful when it pleases me as if the blessings had spare days, but such a heart whose pulse may be thy praise. Amen.